Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we'd like to thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day you've provided for us. We thank you for all the outreach we've done today, and I pray a blessing on Mr. Sean's lips as he presents to us our message here tonight for those who are last leaving us. We pray it is a blessing and that we can apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our brother Sean, the time is yours.
Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
It's almost a new week, young disciples. God is good. Show of hands, who is leaving tomorrow? Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you two things. Then I'm going to tell you a story, and then we're going to have some opportunity for some testimonies. I just was sitting there praying and listening to you sing Psalm 91. And I really don't think you've heard yourself like I heard you just now. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Sunday night, I painted a picture for you of a race. Remember, that's where we started. You've been to a race, you've run a race, you've seen a race, and at the beginning, everyone's packed into the corral, they're ready to go, and when the gun goes off, boom, all off as a pack. And then we observed, accurately, that there's never a pack at the finish. That in fact, there are always those in every race, there are those who don't finish. But when we take that reality, step back a second, look at some of the things we've discussed, some of the pitfalls, some of the things to avoid, and look at the love of God that we've explored this week. And then remember the mind picture that Mr. Pruitt gave us this morning. You in the airplane with the slumped over guy. And we wrap our hands and we wrap our minds around this reality that heaven thinks we can land the plane. We could do it. Like all of us could make it. All of us could cross the finish line. Suddenly, the world is a little brighter. Now, we're still in that same dangerous situation, but I want to tell you something, young people. We could cross the finish line as a pack. We could. Do you want to? So let me tell you one more story. This one comes from the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. It's a fairly short story, but I think it speaks to this moment because, you know, there are times in our experience when once we've been to the mountaintop, we think, this little voice says in the back of our minds, I could keep this experience if only I didn't have to leave. Like, if only this didn't have to be over, then it could go on forever. There was another guy who thought that once. Jesus had something to tell him. Mark chapter 5 records the story of crossing the Sea of Galilee, coming into the country of the Gadarenes. And it says of Jesus, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not even with chains. So here comes a wild man, hair, beard, straggly, naked, broken chains hanging off from everywhere. Verse 4 says, he'd often been bound with chains and fetters, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters had been broken in pieces, and no man could tame him. And always, night and day, the Bible goes on to say, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones, by which we know cutting is not a new phenomenon. cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He ran and did what? Worshipped him, and at the same time cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Doesn't sound like worship. But Jesus recognized in it what it was. Meantime, Jesus' disciples have skittered away and disappeared, probably under the overturned boat. And Jesus alone is there facing the wild man. The crying continues. "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For Jesus had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And then he asked him, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion. We are many." And finally he said, "Okay, fine. If I have to leave, send us into those pigs over there." And so Jesus said, "Go." Do you know the rest of the story? The pigs suddenly started up from their peaceful eating, began to froth at the mouth, ran down the slope, over the cliff, into the water. And the Bible says they were all choked in the sea. And those that kept the swine agape, agog, ran off to tell the story. And when the town came out, they found the man who had once been hairy, dirty, covered with chains and cuts and bruises. They found him clothed and sitting. That should have been less than enough. They were so distracted by the terrible, calamitous loss of property that they were like, "Mr. Jesus, please leave us. Can you?" And you know, Jesus doesn't stay anywhere where he's not wanted. So Jesus turned right around and, with his disciples trailing after him, walked back down to the boat. And then this is the moment I want you to key into. When he got down to the boat, someone was following him. Someone clothed who had recently been naked. Someone free who had recently been bound. And he made as though he would get in the boat too. And Jesus turned to him and he said, can I go? Let me go. I want to be with you forever. Do you remember what Jesus told him? No, not just yet. Go home to your friends. Go home to your friends and show them what great things God has done for you and how he has had pity on you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jesus turning away this one, this new convert, this one who was probably scared for Jesus to leave his presence because he had just recently, you know, been stuck. And now he's free and he wants to keep that freedom for always. He doesn't want the moment to pass away. And Jesus says, "No. Go home. Go home and tell your friends." You know, he did. And do you know the next time the gospel records Jesus passing by that coast, there was already a harvest? Like, Jesus didn't have to preach a single sermon. He just showed up. And he had scores, hundreds, maybe thousands of followers. Sometimes God has something better for us than letting one moment last forever. And I think he does here. I think, though, we could sit here and say, "This is my mountain and I never want to leave." I hear his voice echoing through the ages. "This is your mountain, but if you stayed here, I don't think you'd find what you're looking for. But you might find what you're looking for if you go and tell your friends. You might find what you're looking for if, in leaving this place, you're able to take freedom with you. In leaving this place, you're able to take the decision with you. If in leaving this place, you're able to take transformation with you, that is the enduring proof that what you found here was real. So here's the chance we have. Here's the offer we have from the Almighty God. Talked about a lot of things this week. We've talked about ignorance and the fact that there is no excuse for it. We found the antidote for ignorance right here in my hand. And realize sometimes we have no appetite for that antidote to ignorance because our faces are stuck in our phones. So some of us need to go home and to keep the freedom. We need to leave our phone in a drawer somewhere. Maybe that's you. And maybe it's not your phone. Maybe it's something else. Some of us, to keep freedom, are going to need to go home, and we might use our phone, but we might stay totally away from a certain social media site or a certain social circle. Some of us are going to go home in order to keep the freedom alive, in order to keep this taste of deliverance, this reality of the power of God working in our lives. We're going to have to say no to a relationship that's very precious, but that's somehow toxic and that's pulling us down. Maybe that's you. Some of us have a past to let go of, and I mean that in many different ways. Some of us need to forgive. Some of us need to go home and forgive and get up and walk again in the strength of Jesus. Some of us were never down, but we think we were down. And we just need to get up. Some of us, we talked day before yesterday about dreams, chasing the wrong ones. Great Aunt Mildred and hosts of expectations that are just kind of hanging over our heads as a generation. And some of us need to go home and just let that go. Let an old dream go and pick up a new one. And some of us have experienced pain that has been driving us farther away from the open tomb. The open tomb, mind you, which is the best testament we have, the best witness we have of the power of the resurrection. For some of us, our pain has driven us to mope in our rooms. For some of us, our pain has driven us to drape ourselves over our best friend's shoulders. And for all of us in that situation, what that pain needs to do is drive us back towards Jesus. Maybe that's you. Tonight we have an opportunity to say, yeah, that's me. Tonight we have an opportunity to witness, mostly to Almighty God, and in a sense also to ourselves. That's me. I know. I know that Holy God has asked me for one of those things, or two, or four, or five, this week. I'm going to sing a song of surrender for you. It's a song that I dearly love. And as I do, if you listen carefully, as I sing the song, particularly when I get to the third verse, I'm going to kneel down. And when I kneel down, if you are one of the people sitting in this, on these benches, that say, yes, that's me. One of those things, that's me. Then I want you to join me down here.
so we can pray together.
I don't want everyone just standing up en masse and coming down here. If you come down here, I want it to be because if I tapped you on the shoulder and looked you in the face and you felt safe enough, you could tell me right now which one it is. So not just a kind of a... are you following me? Not just a kind of vague, dreamy sense of, oh, yes, something is me. It's fine to have a vague, dreamy sense of, you know, something. But if the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart and saying specifically, one of these things, that's you, and I need you to give it to me because that thing, whatever it is, that phone or that media or that pain or that distraction or that other dream, that's obstructing our friendship. Friendship with the Almighty God, you guys, ought to grow by itself. It ought to spread like fire. He is so beautiful. So if the fire is not burning bright and alive in our souls, something is putting that fire out. If that's you, join me. And there's a second group of people. Maybe you've been sitting here and you have... you don't have a strong sense of, oh yeah, I definitely have been addicted to my phone, so that's me. But maybe you are one that is, you know, sitting in this company that has never consciously given 100% of yourself to the Almighty God. If that's you, whether or not you have a sense of, you're not just bringing a gift to lay down, you're bringing yourself. Two groups of people. One, if you specifically have heard the call of God this week through Campfire, we'll deal in generalities slightly more generally in a moment. But for this moment, if you've specifically heard one of these, you've felt the knocking on your heart with one of these things specifically, or you're one of those who has never before given 100% of yourself consciously to the Lord Jesus Christ, then when I kneel, join me down here kneeling. If it's not you, when we kneel down here, you can kneel where you are.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I suffered much for thee, more than my tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? and I have brought to thee. Down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love, I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought for me?
Glorious, I don't have to tell you what's going on here. Indeed, I don't know all of what's going on here. But you know, you see, you hear, and you smile. On each of these decisions, on each of these little sacrifices, on each of these gifts we bring back to you, place your hand. Place your blessing. And on each heart giving the gift, to each heart giving the gift, grant strength. We thank you for this mountaintop. We thank you that it comes at least once a year for many of us. We also thank you for times in history when you said, this must temporarily end so that a greater glory can be worked. In this moment, we're banking on that. Banking on the belief that you're sending us home to do something. To live anew. Oh, Father, make us brave. You know that for many of us, going home is like going back to the den of lions. Because there's broken families all over the place, and there are associates and temptations and distractions. Let's pray you keep us faithful. Keep us faithful until we meet again. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.